Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you're in the business of transformation. Help us find out today why that's so important. And help us be open to the ways that you want to transform each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There may be a comment from the back row, which probably means grandpa. Let's just have a quick look at the material that we looked at last week. We saw, as the video itself showed just now, Moses as a baby, threatened with death, and his brave sister Miriam putting him in the river and then hanging around until Pharaoh's daughter turned up, took him back to the palace. I just love the image of the mobile being hung over when you see all the Egyptian hieroglyphic pictures with great big fans and they turn that into a mobile. I thought that was brilliant. Best bit of the film for me, that one. Anyway, and then what we presume happened next, and it's sort of implied, is that he now becomes a prince of Egypt and grows up in the palace. Now we get pretty quickly into the whole idea of transformation and why was it important? Because we can see the outside result of that upbringing. He's a prince on the outside. But it does raise a fairly big question, doesn't it? Actually, what was going on the inside? And we heard much of that through that video reading for us. And I'm going to go into some of them this morning. Because we sort of know the end of the story, it's quite easy to jump to the end and not see the process by which Moses got to the end. And so it's the process that we're looking at this morning. That's the transforming bit that we're going to see. We know that one day Moses would be a great leader. But if you're going to be a great leader like Moses, God needs to do a very significant work in you. Transformation is needed. And I want to show you a passage from the New Testament that gives us a clue as to what God was up to. It's worth just noting that sometimes you can find, why do I say sometimes? A lot of the time you can find other parts of Scripture which we might think is later on in the story actually gives us an insight into what God does and therefore why he did that at the beginning of the story. So we're going to turn to the Old Testament. I just wonder, I'm going to gradually reveal the words. It's a sort of puzzle for you, but I think you'll probably spot it fairly quickly. There's a text in the New Testament that includes the words, be transformed. What's key is what comes after those two words. The renewing of our mind is key to the transformation process. In fact, it is the transformation process. As our minds are renewed, we will be transformed in the way we behave and the way we think. That, conforming to the pattern of the world, is actually how Moses grew up. It's how all of us grow up. So we grow up well soaked in the way the world works. Moses would have grown up well soaked in how the Egyptian world worked, but he also would have grown up in just how human beings work in this broken world. The world puts its pattern on us. And God's very clear in saying to us, we just mustn't be conformed to that pattern. And it's the renewing of our mind that will bring about the transformation. But the bit that follows that text is also key, particularly as we look at the account of Moses. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. If your mind hasn't been transformed, you won't have a clue that God's will makes sense. Only when your mind has been renewed. Just for once, it wasn't my phone that went off then. Hooray! Did I tell you of the time when I made it very clear to a wedding congregation that they should turn their phones off? Whose was it that went off in the middle of the service? At least it didn't happen yesterday. Anyway, where are we? Here we are. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Moses needed his mind transformed so that he could become the leader God wanted him to be. And of course, becoming the leader that God wants you to be requires that you know what God's will is. So the renewing of the mind is key to this whole thing. God had to transform Moses' mind, his thinking, before he could be a godly leader. So let's just have a quick look at the transformation process. This is almost as quick as the video Bible reading that we had this morning, a quick dash through the story of Moses. Firstly, the playboy had to grow up. Isn't it interesting that when he left Egypt, his next job for arguably 40 years, although I think it may be a biblical 40, but we'll see what happens with that. But it certainly has God's imprint all over it, God's will all over that period of him being a shepherd. When the whole bunch of sheep are completely dependent on you, you can't sit in your sun lounger and say to some servant, go and sort the sheep out. Because there isn't anybody else to sort the sheep out for you. And if you don't watch the sheep and look at them and get to know them and recognise the signs, you won't have a clue what's going on with that particular sheep. In fact, there may be some among us, in fact, probably all of us in different ways, who realise there's rather strong parallels between being a shepherd and being a parent. You suddenly find, oh my goodness, this little person is completely dependent on me, and I might as well forget having a rest for the next 20 years. There's the shepherding thing. A 40-year apprenticeship as a shepherd would have knocked the playboy out of him. If you're going to care for people, spending time as a shepherd is a good apprenticeship. Caring for sheep does wonders for your compassion and your patience. Not only did he have to learn how to care for other people or sheep, he had to learn who was boss. If you grow up in a palace and you can get things done by the click of your thumb, click of your fingers, then you begin to think you're boss. Actually, it's your grandfather's money that's paying for people to jump when you say jump. Moses, out on his own in the desert, had to learn who was really boss. And it wasn't him. And so God speaks to him in the desert and says, the place where you are standing is holy ground. In other words, somebody bigger than Moses showed up. That would have been a big shock, wouldn't it? To discover that there's somebody else who's actually more powerful than you. That starts to rearrange your thinking and renew your mind. And then Moses goes into whinge mode, of which I can only represent a few today. But Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He suddenly starts to feel very small. Well, that's probably quite a good thing to happen next. Oh my goodness me, I've just run away from Egypt. Well, maybe 40 years previously, I've run away from Egypt having murdered somebody. I don't really want to go back to Egypt. Who am I? He gets very preoccupied by himself. And at this moment, his inadequacy. And God replies, I will be with you. And Moses has to learn, as all of us have to learn, that's enough. By God saying that, God has not suddenly said to Moses, you are now all powerful. In fact, it's probably quite a good thing in some ways that Moses had discovered how inadequate he is. But he's now starting to discover how big God is. And that is what makes the difference. That God is with him, even in his inadequacy. But he carries on. Suppose they ask me, what is his name, the name of this God? Isn't it interesting that actually Moses clearly doesn't know God very well at this moment? Who is this God who's speaking to me out of this bush? So in his growing up apprenticeship phase, he has to discover both how little he is and how dependable God is, But he actually had to get to know God properly. He may have known of God, although it's not at all clear how that would have happened, except from his mother's knee as she brought him up until he went into the Pharaoh's palace. But is that all he had to go on who the God of his people was? What is his name? What shall I tell them? And God gives him a fairly inadequate answer. But that's one of the things that we have to learn. God says, I'm the Lord. Which bit of jump don't you understand? And that's a big growing up thing, to discover how little we are, how dependable God is, and then how big God is. I am the Lord of all things. The sovereignty of God, to put it rather more technically, is a crucial thing that we need to learn. And then, I've got the God's answer as well in that one. There you go. Pardon your servant, Lord. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And he goes into poor me mode. I don't speak well. God starts to get a bit testy. I will help you. And I will teach you what to say. Also, we know from the video that God also said, I will give you your brother to come with you. Anyway, there was more to that story, as you saw in the video, but that's enough for that bit. Then we have one of these some time later interludes, quite a long time later. If you know the story well, of course, you know that after the plagues, after the Pharaoh eventually decided that they would indeed let the Israelites go, they left Egypt, they travelled across the desert, they find themselves up against the Red Sea, a load of water in front of them, and this coming up behind. Now, that looks surely pretty and picturesque, doesn't it, in that artist's impression about what an Egyptian army looks like. That's roughly what it would mean to us today. When you see tanks and Apache helicopters belting up behind you, Houston, we really do have an extremely big problem here. Now, our situations may not be that we've got that sort of thing chasing up behind us, but I bet many of us this morning might have something similar. You haven't got a clue what you're going to do next. You can't go back because that's where that lot's coming from. You can't go forward because there's water in the way. What do you do? And true to form, the Israelites all moaned. But what's really, really interesting is what's happened to Moses. This is the person who, sometime earlier, before all the plagues, before the exodus from Egypt, this is the person who said, I can't speak properly, and send someone else, and I'm poor me, and I can't do that. Look at what he says now. Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. He's a different man, isn't he? He's been through an awful lot to get to that place. But that's the sort of renewing of his mind. He's the same physical human being, a bit older, of course, significantly older. But it's his mind that's been renewed. Now he's in a position to listen to God and to trust God and to understand God's will. That Moses is very, very different from the one that we saw earlier. The playboy has become a leader, a godly leader, who's learnt how big and trustworthy God is and what part he himself, Moses, has to play in that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, says Paul in Romans 12. Let's pray, shall we? Father, it's probably easier to watch this happening to somebody else than to go through it ourselves, because each of those incidents would have felt like a lifetime to Moses, and they were scary. Lord, we bring to you this morning the situations we're in. And often we don't know why you're permitting them to happen. Thank you, Lord, for showing us this morning that what you're about is renewing our minds, helping us to see ourselves in the right context, to understand your sovereignty, to understand that you are completely trustworthy, that we can indeed depend on you. And so, Lord, we even dare to say today, thank you for allowing us to pass through challenging situations so that we might have our minds renewed and be transformed as Moses was. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.